Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. Well, we have a new player, sort of a new player, back in Baltimore, an old face, a new player back to the Ravens, and Brent Urban. I saw it. I was kind of excited. Here to discuss it with me is Alec Poulianos. Alec, how you doing?
Doing well, Ken. Had a good evening with you.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. So Alec and I just went to the ball game. We saw Adley Rutschman triple in his first game. And funny little story about this. I was just looking at the stats. The Orioles have only had 266 triples in the history of Camden Yards, meaning at home. They've hit 266. That's among 21,113 hits. I was just looking at it. So maybe it's 267 out of 21,113, but it's 1.26% of all hits have been triples. And yet, the three most ballyhooed prospects of the Camden Yards era, I think we can all agree, are Weeders in 2009, Machado in 2012, and Rutschman in 2022. All three of them hit a triple at home in their first major league at bat. If you were to pick three players at random and try and determine what the odds were of that, that would be one in 494,000 and change for that to happen randomly, given a 1.26% assumption of first major league hit.
Yeah, that was too good of a story not to have on the air here today.
I appreciate you setting me up with that, but thanks. But it was also fun to go to a ball game with you, my friend.
Yeah, no, I had a blast. I'm glad it all worked out. But yeah, the reason we were even in contact today was because of this Brent Urban news. He was the 134th pick for the Ravens back in 2014. He's going to be an eighth year player, I think, this year, either eighth or ninth.
Yeah, he's 31.
Yeah. So been around the league since he left Baltimore, spent some time in Chicago and Tennessee, and then last year with Dallas in that, you know, kind of squandered defense that they had last year. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of just a reliable player at this point. I think he was a good addition for the Ravens.
Yeah, so a lot of people remember Brent Urban as getting hurt in 2017, which was his fourth. Well, a lot of people remember Brent Urban from a lot of things, but in his fourth year, he got hurt, which is a terrible time for a player to get hurt because it's right when they're about to cash in on a big contract. So the Ravens re-signed him to a deal in 2018, which is actually his fifth year with Baltimore. And his third and fifth years, both very good for the Ravens. We'll talk a little bit more about them. But he never really got the big free agent payday that a player of his status might hope to get coming out of 2016, for example.
Yeah, he's just kind of like one of those journeyman players, honestly. Mm-hmm. It's kind of impressive that he's still in the league, but it shows that he does some things pretty well.
Plays the run exceptionally well, has played a high percentage of defensive snaps in his key year with the Ravens in 2018, he played 50% of the defensive snaps. Really was an iron man. If you look at what Derek Wolfe did for the Ravens in 2020, really holding that defensive line together after Campbell and Williams each had injuries, he was similar to that in 2018 and being a guy who the Ravens really depended on for an Iron Man set of snaps.
Yeah. And it's kind of interesting you bring up the Iron Man aspect. We were talking about it. I think what this really notes for the Ravens is that Derek Wolfe's time might be coming to an end. Maybe his recovery is not going to ever happen at this point. And we were talking, you know, he played an unbelievable amount of snaps and was kind of the hero of that defense in the last season we saw of him. What was it, 2020, right?
Right.
So, 2020. Yeah, he played a lot of snaps. If you recall, with the COVID call outs and the injuries, that there was a couple games, in particular the game against Tennessee, that he really had to like hold down the fort for us. And he played really well. But mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like he's not going to bounce back from all that.
No, it's a real shame. Urban and Wolf, very similar players in a lot of ways. First of all, they're taller, really five-tech guys. But because you can't be just a five-tech guy, and I know a lot of people who've listened to the show heard this before, but I'm going to explain it once again anyway. You can't just be a five-tech guy in the NFL anymore because five-techs only play in the base defense. So if you are a five-tech, you really all have to be a three and a five-tech, have some versatility there, be usable in terms of some pass rushing downs and whatnot. And Urban and Wolf both had that. You know, Wolf, a good under guy on stunts. Urban had some of that as well. That good length always helps crossing the face of a defender, of an offensive lineman, rather. And, you know, he never really generated a lot of pass rush personally, but was a very good run defender. and someone that I think, you know, if you look at this team, this may be a chance not only to replace Wolf, but get Calais Campbell a little bit of relief in terms of snap count.
Yeah, I think that's critical, Ken. Having another player that can fill in that role was kind of something that was lacking last year. It was Campbell or bust. And mm-hmm. I think we've kind of talked about how it's sometimes maybe a little difficult to find these kind of players in the draft. So being able to find a guy that you're familiar with, you drafted him yourself, and get him at the vet minimum contract, I think that's a really good deal.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the contract obviously this looks like a Ravens friendly, Ravens veteran contract. We can talk a little bit about what that means, but just Wolf's versatility is very important to the team. The team is obviously very old on the defensive line, and they're going to need to address that, but they took one step at least to do so in this draft by drafting Travis Jones. And they already had Matabike as their only kind of young defensive lineman that they had around. So Urban does not fix their age problem. He merely kicks the can down the road another year or two, depending on, you know, whether or not he's a guy who stays around for two contracts like McPhee did or for just one. But I think he's at a point in his career where he'll probably be signing the vet min this year, and he might be the vet min next year, very well could be as well. And, you know, we've seen that happen with Bynes, Levine, Tony Jefferson, any number of players that it was just a natural fit for them to stay more than 1 year. McPhee comes to mind as another guy. This is not necessarily just a 1 year arrangement, but it's a arrangement also of convenience from the Ravens' perspective. First of all, from the fact that they have a player at a position they really needed to fill this year. But second of all, in terms of giving them some roster flexibility.
Yeah, so we were talking about it before the show that we highly suspect this is one of the players we were talking about actually as well, that the Ravens really didn't have many candidates for this, but it seems like they're starting to collect them of handshake cuts to let them fall when the 53-man roster needs to be made and then just re-sign them the next day.
Yeah, it's a critical piece of the roster to have in place, and the Ravens have manipulated it very well. Now let's explain a little bit, because I know a lot of people know, but not everybody knows. So it's worth explaining that if you are put on IR before the 53-man roster is set,
yes,
initially, then you are on season-ending IR and cannot return. If, however, you are put on the roster, doesn't even have to be for the first week, just has to be put on the first 53-man roster that's due about 10 days before the season starts.
Right.
If you're put on the roster that time, then you're eligible to be brought back under the very generous now IR-DTR rules, which allow you to only sit out 3 games. So the Ravens have done a very good job over the last few years since that rule has been so lenient, and even before then when they could have 2 players, say, of getting a couple of guys stashed on IR who could come back. But to do that, you need to have offsetting players who you can cut on a handshake deal. So Anthony Levine, that was the deal for a couple of years with him. And Jordan Richards, that was the deal with him. Eric Tomlinson, that was the deal with him. Pernell McPhee, that was the deal with him last year. So the Ravens love having these veterans that are at the vet min contract, where if they cut them, they are not subject to waivers, which is the key thing. If you cut a guy on his rookie deal, he's subject to waivers. Anybody else could claim him, and you'll lose him. Mm-hmm. If you cut him under the handshake agreement, well, yeah, anybody else could sign him, but they've had other opportunities to sign, you know, Brent Urban out there up until May 21st or right. May 19th or whatever happened. Yeah. So they didn't take it. So, you know, players like that usually are fairly loyal to their situation, and nobody's looking to give them an extra million. So, you know, they'll hang around and they'll stay for the handshake deals. And I don't know that the Ravens have ever lost anyone under those circumstances.
No, I don't think so. And like you said, think about the circumstances. It's 10 games before the season. You've gotten to know the playbook. You're like invested in this situation. Your family's all settled. Are you really going to move?
your living arrangements are done. I mean, even if it's like 200 grand or something, I mean, why would you do it? If it's a million, I understand why somebody might want to do that, you know? And then you leave your kids, you leave your wife, you go play in another city for 4 months, and you hope for the best.
Right.
But I think that Urban is one of those players who certainly fits into this category of could be cut. He also could not make the roster. That's possible. Somebody could outplay him.
I mean, this is a very loaded roster at this point, with all the draft picks that we had. And players are coming back from injury and just free agent signings. I mean, you look at it and it's going to be an interesting build, topic for another show, but definitely a lot of players that we know, name value, will be cut. One thing actually worth talking about, is there any other candidates on the roster right now that could be cut, like Urban? Is Jefferson, for instance, one?
Yes, Jefferson would be in that category. I'll give you the list as I see it, because I just went through this the other day, and all you have to do, by the way, is do what I did. Go to the Ravens roster on their website, sort by years of experience, and look for the guys that are 5+. So the guys who are 5+ are Mark Andrews, no. Gus Edwards, no. Lamar Jackson, no. Kayvon Seymour, yes, if he makes the team. Vince Beagle, possibly. I don't think he'll make the team, but he would be a potential guy because he's in his sixth year. Chuck Clark, Marlon Humphrey, Michael Pierce, no. Patrick Ricard, no. Marcus Williams, no. Juwan James, I don't think so, because he's got a $3 million contract. See, the Ravens have got to kind of make a decision on whether or not to keep him. Ronnie Stanley, no. Nick Boyle, no. Mike Davis, absolutely freaking yes.
Oh,
so
yeah.
He's an eighth-year player. So Tony Jefferson is probably in the same category. I think he'll be fine coming back on a handshake deal. Marcus Peters, no. Morgan Moses, no. Josh Bynes, yes. Another guy who could be cut. And then Justin Tucker, Derek Wolfe, will probably be gone, honestly, before then. Kevin Zeitler, no. And Calais Campbell, no. So there you have your candidates.
Awesome. Yeah. So more than I thought, honestly, which is good. We'll need the flexibility, too, particularly with all these guys coming back from injury. I mean, I could see us sneaking at least two or three.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just with the Achilles alone and then some ACLs.
One of the other things is depth has to hold up. So you better be N plus one in terms of your N man positional roster across the board. So if you need four tight ends on this team, or you think you do to run your offense, or if you need five safeties, because that's where you want it, you better have six now. And you better have five tight ends to be able to get through, have your depth hold up through camp. If it does, hey, then you have an option to make a trade to try and find another home for the player, or to cut him if worse comes to worse. But you know, your depth has to hold up through camp. And the Ravens, as much as any other organization, realize the need to do that, to have, you know, an N plus one roster for the N size positional group.
Yeah, for sure. So overall, didn't see this coming. Wasn't something I was looking out for, or even a position group necessarily that I was banging the drum they need to sign someone for. But now that it's happened, it looks like an obvious move and a very good move for the Ravens.
Yeah, I think he does a lot to fill early down snaps. And it's interesting, the Ravens have really built an outstanding run trio, even without Campbell on the field. They could have Urban with Davis and Pierce on the field on first downs against some of the bigger teams. You can even see some bigger sets coming in where they have two of the jumbos again, and then two of these larger five techs, whether it's Campbell and Urban or anyone else, frankly, among the defensive line group that would be in there in real short yardage situations and goal line situations. So I'm excited for it. I think Brent Urban still has something to offer. He still gives you some something in the passing game, I think, that might get overlooked. The Ravens have a really good ability to play zone defense, as it appears to be coming this year. They've got a lot of size in that first level of the defense if they can get their inside linebackers off the field. Mm-hmm. And Kyle Hamilton could be up pressing on a tight end, could be up in a short zone, you know, and aware players who understand what are the routes behind them, safeties at inside linebacker spots I'm talking about then. But any kind of large player helps with that. Large players at the line of scrimmage help even more. So if you can get a Brent Urban on the field on some passing downs, second and 10, whatever it might be, or even on early passing downs on a first down where he has the ability to disrupt the passing play, he can actually generate turnovers for you without, you know, being the guy who makes interceptions. He can get a pass defense. He can get a ball thrown over him, which might be intercepted just because of a quarterback's desire to get the ball over his outstretched hands.
Yeah, very tall guy, 6'7". So you can imagine that he could definitely disrupt throwing lanes. And another thing I think I wanted to bring up before we wrap up is just the fact that Eric DaCosta told us that it was coming, and here it is. You know, we got Mike Davis last week, and now Brent Urban. So these older players, the Josh Byneses, I think he called them, of the world, you know, kind of filling out the roster with these veteran players are coming through. And I'm curious to see which other ones he has up his sleeve. I imagine there's one or two more left.
Yeah, I think – I think that is in no way pejorative. I mean, I think, you know, you hear that the Josh Bynes of the world. I mean, there's clearly a ceiling there that he's putting on who Josh Bynes is.
Right. But
there's also a floor that's very attractive in terms of who he's putting on the field. And, you know, these are the guys that help you fill out the rosters. He means they're quality players who can give you quality time. And, you know, they've gotten nothing but that from Josh Bynes. I know he won't be insulted with that. They could attach it to Anthony LaVine as well.
Yeah.
And you'll point to it in that same way. But Josh Bynes, I mean, twice in 3 years has saved the defense in a way.
So. I love Josh. I mean, I very much appreciate his services.
Me too. Wish they hadn't let him go in 2020. I was ashamed to be missing him for that year.
Yeah.
So, all right. So Brent Urban is back a Raven. We're excited about it. A lot of positional versatility. Any other thoughts before you close it down?
No, not really. I mean, I told you before, I am thrilled to see this defense. I feel like this could be the year, just with all the acquisitions made and with a new coordinator. I'm just extremely excited to see what happens. I am looking forward to Ravens defense again. I really do think we could go back to a standard of excellence, and that's all I want. I miss that. I missed having an imposing defense. Like, I love Lamar Jackson. I love the fun and glitz of an offense, but man, I've seen years and years of good defense. I would love it to be back.
Yeah, me too. I feel the exact same way. And I agree with you that, you know, obviously a lot of things were wrong in terms of injury last year, but it's not 100% of what was wrong in terms of, you know, the personnel just not being up to snuff, particularly at certain places on the field. And I'm so eager to see what McDonald does schematically to highlight the strengths of this defense and disguise some of the weaknesses in terms of who they are. I'm just really excited to see how that works out. And I think there's a lot of different ways you could adapt it. That first week of the season is going to be stuff we never imagined we'd see. So we'll go through the preseason, but we'll be at camp and we'll see that. Then we'll see the preseason and they'll play some very standard packages that you always see. They'll play, you know, base and they'll play nickel and they'll play maybe a couple snaps of dime, but not even too much of that because they're really just trying to see everybody play. And then and then we'll get to week one and we could see some really extreme stuff we haven't seen before.
Yeah, I can't wait. Is it football season yet, Ken?
Yeah, there we go. There we go. Well, tell folks where they can talk football with you, Al.
Sure. Yeah. Exciting week. So we just released One Winning Pod, the new rebrand of Ravens Recap. So the new website's up. I think everyone got transitioned over without any pains, pretty seamless. But definitely give us a check or check us out at One Winning Pod on Twitter. And actually, we made a YouTube channel as well, which at the moment is just the podcast on YouTube. But we do look forward to creating some kind of exclusive content and maybe even like vignettes, little shorter ideas, things that wouldn't really make sense in the podcast format as we have it now, or something that needs a visual element. So give us a subscribe there. But definitely an exciting time for us.
Very cool. And definitely a great choice on a pod name. Alec is a good follow personally as well. You're at One Winning Pod. Is that your
Twitter? We all share it. Sometimes we'll tag at the end like, oh, it's Alec or it's Peter or it's Chris as like who's making that take. And other times we don't tag it because it's just like probably a pretty standard thought amongst the three of us.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So we kind of all share it.
Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a film study short, I'd love to have you. This is that time of the season getting a lot of really great ideas, frankly, about 2, 3, and 4 show ideas. And so if you've got a big idea, and I had some great ones you're going to love coming up. There's different things about evolution of the game, one about, you know, a evolution of the wide receiver position in terms of value that I think is going to be very interesting.
Gosh. Yeah,
so come to me with those ideas. I'd love to flesh them out with you and come up with a 2, 3, or 4 show idea. And if you just got something you want to talk to me about, get off your chest for 15 minutes. The microphone is open. I'd love to have you on Talk Football. Alec, thanks again for coming on.
Of course.
We'll talk to you next time on Film Study.